And now, Tim Dillon is going to hell! With Tim Dillon and Ray Kump.
Welcome to Tim Dillon is Going to Hell, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Ray Kump is running late. Very bad traffic in New York City. He's on his way. We'll be here in a few minutes. Today, we're very lucky to be joined. It is a privilege to be joined by the writer, director, creator of Ha the Musical. The musical about stand-up comedy that nobody asked for. But they got. And it's going to be live at Skankfest, NYC, if you're going. Starring Big J. Okerson, Luis Gomez, Tim Dillon, others. Lover of fat men. The great Michelle Wendt. Thank you for coming on.
I wouldn't have done it if I realized I was being filmed. This is like an assault.
All you do is you love
fucking
fat
horrible.
Men. You love fucking fat men and
yeah.
cuddling with them.
Yeah.
And then you are so self-conscious about your looks. I don't understand this.
Well, I feel like
you
I'm
You surround
being violated.
Yourself with train wrecks. Jay, me, everybody's a rotund, large person. Mm-hmm. And then you're self-conscious about the way you look, but never the way they look.
No. Well, I don't. That's of course not.
Right.
What the fuck do I care what you guys look like? I care what I look like.
Right. But see, you'll get mad at us if we lose weight. You say you don't like it. You get mad.
I don't trust a thin man. I don't trust thin men, and I don't trust redheads.
Right.
A thin man is a very selfish, disgusting person.
She's top notch, folks. I tell you, when I brought her on, I said she's. Better than anyone else. She's not a comedian. She doesn't care. She doesn't have a Twitter. She doesn't have a Facebook. These are the best people. There is no filter. I like that. A thin man is a disgusting and selfish man.
Not to be trusted.
And not to be trusted.
No. I also don't want to get confused about whose ass is who when we're walking down the block.
Okay.
That's also not a good look either.
So when you see a big man, a fat man,
mm-hmm.
what goes through your mind?
Powerful.
Really?
Take charge.
Interesting.
You know, hairy ball sacks. Just,
really?
Just living life on the edge.
Fuck
you, I'm doing it my way. Go fuck yourself. And that's not always true. Because
right.
you're some very sad, lonely... insecure fat men. I don't like them.
Yeah, a lot of them. Yeah, many, many of them.
Right, I don't like those guys.
You want somebody with, like, bravado.
Bravado. I mean, it's nice. I don't really like a really vain man.
Right.
You know, I like, well, that's not true. I like them to kind of have a look, but real vanity is very feminine to me.
Right. And so interesting. So the masculinity is something about being a fat slob.
Yeah.
Is masculine.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I mean, there was a time that it also meant wealth. It meant
right.
indulgence. It was
yes.
gluttonous. It was,
yes.
I'm going to eat the food and then you and then this and I'm going to acquire things. It's very sexy.
Yes. Okay. I like that. 1920s political cartoon.
Yeah. Yes.
Big, fat, pinstripe suit, balloon
yeah.
person.
Cigars.
Shouting. Capitalism.
Spitting when he shouts.
Spitting. You're attracted
to on the edge of a
fat,
heart attack.
So a fat man spitting when he talks in a restaurant. Is what gets you going. That's
I don't
what
mind
gets
it.
You wet.
I don't mind it.
But a thin man is a, what was he?
A sniveling.
Yeah.
Untrustworthy.
Disgusting and selfish.
Selfish, vain.
Person.
No.
Not to be trusted.
No, I don't. No.
It's the best.
Mm-hmm.
You're the best. I wish there were more gay men
yeah.
who felt like you do.
Well, that's not true.
Most gay men are not. They like the bod. You know, I am a fan of that. The sculpted Greek kind of statuesque torso.
Yeah, that's actually something I need to talk to you about.
Yeah.
What is it about you larger set guys that are so hypocritical? I mean, you're hypocrites where you want
yeah.
your tiny opposites.
Right.
Is that self-loathing? Or is that,
I'm
are
sure
you projecting what you all want?
It's probably some of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably some of that. But I think, you know, there's this thing in gay culture where we idealize the perfect guy, maybe the guy we want to be, the guy we want to be with.
Right.
So there's this perfect ideal in my mind of what a guy's supposed to be.
Right.
And it's an in shape, you know,
right,
somewhat masculine, but like in shape guy. The opposite of everything you're saying. You want fatty. I want quiet, confident, no bravado, but in shape, masculine. Yeah. And not masculine in the fucking bro sense.
No.
But the sense of you're confident, quiet.
But do you feel safe with a man that slight?
I mean, I don't really feel unsafe anywhere. I mean, but so I understand what you're saying. So the idea of when you're walking down the street with a whale.
Well, I would not call any of you whales.
Well, you wouldn't. But what's interesting, you have a fat cat, Oscar, who I put on my Instagram.
Yeah.
And he is a male cat.
Yes.
And he is fat.
Yes.
And he's, and you, how would you describe Oscar?
A lazy, selfish cock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? He really is.
Yeah.
He doesn't participate with the other animals in the house.
No.
He doesn't really act like he's part of the family at all.
He's completely, he demands autonomy. He's self-centered. He's a risk taker to the point where if he was a human, he'd be a severe addict.
Yeah.
He has no concern for himself.
Interesting.
Really. And it's yet true. He thinks he owns his block. He owns the house. He just doesn't care. He doesn't give a shit.
He doesn't give a fuck. I love him. He's all over my Instagram. If you've not seen him, you're not following Tim J. Dillon on Instagram. And you should be. When did you develop the fetish for fatties? How far back does it go? Do you remember? Because I'm sure you didn't always date fat guys.
Well, no. When you're younger,
you don't want to date.
No. Well, that's a medical disorder.
What do you mean?
Well, I think if you're in your teen years and that's happening.
So if you're heavy in your teen years, that's a medical disorder.
Well, that could be a medical. It could be some abuse. It could be.
Okay.
I don't know. It could be like diabetes. I'm not sure what's going
right.
on there.
Right. So that's unattractive. Fat
no.
teens.
Yeah, fat. I don't need to hear changing voice and then also chafing thighs.
Right. Okay.
That's not hot.
Fat teens, yeah. No. Fat men, middle age, yes.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
Because I want hair. Hair is a big. By the way,
you love hair. I'm not a huge fan of hair. I like hair to be where it should be, but nowhere else.
In fact, I should say, a large or thin man, hairless is like. I may as well fuck no, and it's androgyny to me.
Interesting.
No hair, no deal.
No hair, no deal.
Quite frankly, no beard, no deal.
Well, you love beards. Now you want the pubic region. How much hair should be there?
Like it's going to start a fucking fire if you get a match.
Really?
Anywhere, like a forest
there's
fire.
There's no amount of hair that's too much.
No.
You just want more and more hair.
I like that. Yes, that's what I'm attracted to.
What about somebody having a big bush, like a big gnarly bush, does it for you? And it's got to be on a fat guy. Fat guy, lot of hair. You like a big hairy belly.
Yes.
Yes.
That's
okay.
Sexy.
Right.
Yeah, of course.
And a penis just buried in this furry flesh.
Well, let's not get crazy. I don't need to see it. I don't need a peanut in there. That's not attractive. No.
No, but okay. But, you know, any guy who's fat and furry, I mean, you know, it doesn't stand out in the way that it would on a thin swimmer.
That's right. But it's
right.
A bear. So if I was gay,
right.
I would like bears, I guess.
Interesting.
I'm a bear person, not an otter person. A bear
right,
person.
Right. You want a fatty.
Well, not just I like to call it in charge.
Interesting.
I don't call it fatty. It's more like it's in charge.
I get it.
It's a presence.
I get it.
My boyfriend now has a presence.
He does have a presence. Very good. No, absolutely. And he's a good dude. And there's a similar aesthetic, I think,
mm-hmm.
between a lot of your friends that are men and him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems to be.
It's really true.
You know, it seems to be. I think Ray just arrived. Our co-host just arrived. But, I mean, that's what's interesting about you. I met you when you asked me to do your show, Ha!
Yes.
The Musical, because someone had dropped out of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And you said you needed a new lead. And then I came in, and it was we had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the first time I met you, you were like, you were in someone else's apartment. You had, which is what I love about you, is you're in everyone's life.
Yeah.
You just get in there, mm-hmm. and people say, "Here's the apartment," and here's and just do it, and we'll start a business with you because you're. It is. I don't remember a time when I didn't know you. I really believe in
How
my
does?
Head.
Yeah.
You take up mental resident. You're just there because of the things that you say, which are some of the funniest things that have been said. what you just said in the beginning of the show was one of the funniest things that's ever been said on the show about thin men. It just is. And you're not even saying it to be funny, but it's just the way it is. So people like that are so rare. They're rare right now in the age. Speaking of fatties, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
We were just talking about Michelle's fat fetish.
Oh,
you gotta let him back. You gotta let him by. You should know this, Michelle. He's gotta get in.
He's gonna sit next to me. Holy.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Repeat what you said about thin men, because I think it needs to be heard again.
Well, just that I said that they're untrustworthy, and they're self-centered and horrible people.
Yeah, yes.
Vain, disgusting,
selfish.
They should be working, not working out.
Right.
See, yes.
So he's not really. You're on the same page with me.
Yeah. Speaking of the microphone, honey, I know you're all over the place.
Well,
just
I have to turn my phone off because I think it's buzzing the microphone.
Yeah. She was. I mean, some of the funniest things that have ever been said on the show. She's already said the filter is amazing. The lack of filter, and that's why somebody like this is absolutely amazing. We just talked about you can't even get attracted to a thin guy without hair.
Oh, that's like, it's almost like a, it's like,
so you don't like bald men?
Pedophilia.
Oh, you mean like hairless bodies?
Ugh.
She can't do it. She wants a fat, furry,
the hairy ass.
Sure.
Just like caked with shit.
Well, no.
All right, I don't know.
That.
I mean, the kind of men you're describing just seems like a man who wouldn't necessarily clean himself.
Oh, no, that's incorrect.
All right.
That's absolutely incorrect. That's insane.
I feel like you're playing the roll of the dice here.
No. My men are powerhouses.
Power, is that a term?
Clean, large powerhouses.
Okay.
For example, our friend Tim Dillon here. A clean,
clean,
large powerhouse.
I'm relatively clean. I think I'm reasonably clean.
Yeah, right.
I don't know how much of a powerhouse I am either.
You're talking about like the thrust that they provide during sex?
Well, I mean, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just the physicality.
She likes the bravado.
The false bravado of fat.
No, there is no sex. I imagine the sex with a lot of these fat men is it's over.
I don't have sex with a lot of fat men. I'm only sleeping with one man.
All right.
How many fat? You've been with other men that are plus size.
The truth is, I have not.
Interesting.
This is why you're
a one man fetish.
No, because she likes her friends to be fat. When I lost weight, I there was an Instagram photo of me with lost weight. She called me up screaming at me. She said, "I think you have cancer. Whatever you're doing, stop it. Start eating again." I was still, I just want to let everyone know, morbidly obese in this photo. Okay?
Right.
Morbidly obese in this photo.
My sister even said,
I was losing weight.
You looked gaunt.
I looked a little, I don't know about gaunt for me, I guess.
When was this picture from?
A few months ago, and then she calls me.
When you lost 5 pounds and bragged about
it? Right, and she went nuts. She called me. She's like, put it back on, or I'm not talking anymore. She wants fatties.
I noticed it.
You stopped eating cheese for a week?
Yeah, for a month, and then I dropped about 20 pounds, and then she called me up like I had uploaded a photo of myself, and I had Down syndrome. Like, that's how concerned she was.
I thought you were developing an eating disorder.
Okay, well, I was not.
Like
but
I thought you were starving yourself.
No one else thought that.
Well, it kind of looked like
no
that.
One
that was no one. No one thought that. But so it's very interesting about you. You've been married a few times. And
I have. Three to be exact. Yes, I have.
Now, you like getting married.
I do. I like it.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Why? There's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
Well, I mean, there could be something wrong. I'm not going to judge.
Can I get a direct camera lens, please? I don't like side views. I feel very violated. Right? This is horrifying.
Are you still friends with your exes?
I am. Actually, I'm very friendly with my exes. Not the second one.
Oh.
And out of respect to my daughter,
I
won't say much about him out of respect to Olivia. But
he's
the only one I don't care for.
Is he like a sheik?
No. But I like all my exes except him. That would have been fun.
It would have been. And so every ex you get along with.
I really do. I really do.
That's great.
I really do.
That's great.
And the most current one, you're friends with the most current one.
I love him. I'm a huge fan.
I love him. He's a lovely man.
Yeah.
Nice,
you've met him,
guy.
Too. He's
nice
a great
guy.
He's a great dude.
Great dad. Yeah. Great dad, you know.
Your father, you've alluded and made jokes that your dad was in the CIA. What do you think he really did?
I don't know what he did.
Right.
You know, but it was something that probably a little naughty, but not criminal, just like a little weird.
Right.
Right.
Now, stop.
Those kids didn't have parents. It's fine.
Right. Now, describe what did he, what was the, he, what he was, he ran a company.
He was he was one of the heads of a company called TRW.
It's immediately a front.
Immediately.
Well, remember the Falcon and the Snowman. That one, not your stupid credit score. The other one that made automotive and aircraft weaponry and parts.
Okay, so
and all
he was
that
the
stuff.
CEO of that.
He was he was involved in the aircraft one.
Okay.
Beyond aircraft that, I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows? He just did well, and I had a, I had a lot of
that's a right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
He I had a well. Lot of nice things, and I yeah. it was a good time. Yeah.
No, he lived in Tunisia and married another person. You had a sister?
Like Tunisia?
What happened with that?
She's disgusting. She's...
Wait, what? How did Tunisia happen?
Who knows? He just went from Miami to Tunis after 9/11.
After 9/11, we gotta move. Pack your thing.
Someone give me a better fucking angle. This is horrifying.
After 9/11, he went to Tunis.
Isn't that like number 3 Al Qaeda spot?
He's a white guy living in Tunisia.
Fucking Lawrence of Arabia.
So what is he? He decides to just up and go to Tunisia.
Well, he didn't decide. This is what he just said. I'm going there for a job, whatever that job was. We weren't sure.
My I go where the business is.
Right, exactly. You're my right. sister said he had a fabulous pool. We know that. I don't know.
And so he goes to Tunisia, and he has another family.
He remarries a woman, a young gold digger, French gold digging woman, and
right.
And then he pulled a Larry King and had a child. You know, in his
which
I think
Larry
his
King was over
not the one from the Franklin scandal. Okay.
He had CNN. A child in his 60s.
Yeah,
way too old for it.
Crazy.
And by the time he died of cancer 5 years ago at 73, I think she was like 6.
Okay.
And we just couldn't see me. She was just a rotten child.
Yeah.
And called
well provided
him,
for.
Called him Tom, which I thought, and he would say Tom because she was, you know, spoken French or papa.
So she didn't say dad.
She called him Tom.
Tom.
So that was creepy in its own
yeah,
right.
Yeah. And you did you see her when he was dying? Did
absolutely.
You meet her?
She would just fly by here, you know, here and there through the rooms.
Yeah.
Didn't interact with her much.
Yeah.
You know, shot her a couple dirty looks when no one was looking.
The 6-year-old?
Yeah.
All right. Your sister, technically, right? Oh, she's the sister.
She's the half sister.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I get it now.
Yeah, the half-sister.
Yeah, disgusting child.
Yeah.
Michelle has feuds with children, right. Which I love. She had a feud with Steinberg.
The
one we had on, the one who's the shape of a pencil.
Yeah.
She had a feud with him. She has a feud
over
with children.
What? Over what?
She had a feud. We don't even know. He got in an argument with her daughter, and then she was just in a feud with little fucking Alice Steinberg.
By the way,
and she's mad at me that he runs my website.
Well, it's gross. But here's the thing. I just want to say.
To be fair, I have. To be fair, I have made that point before myself.
Yeah,
what?
Okay.
What? What point?
That you're just in bed with this Steinberg. Not literally in bed with
right, him. Right. He's a kid. He's a good kid. He runs the website. But you were like, you were just, and I didn't, I met the kid at your party.
I have sort of an Italian sensibility of loyalty. To
oh
me.
My, here we go. Because
okay.
your mafia
I'm
done.
I'm very
now.
Into loyalty. Ray,
yeah.
I know you are too.
Sure.
Loyalty is huge, yeah. Okay?
Ray takes out a loyalty card from Popeyes. Like, absolutely I am. I got a free biscuit yesterday.
I can be trusted to.
Listen, I'm very loyal.
I'm very discreet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I will fight with a child because I think children are just nasty adults, some of them, on the growth. I mean, there are kids that are not pleasant, let's face it.
Yeah, it's very true. It's very
true. You know, they're not all darling.
When
you
I was,
seem to have like a jealousy motive with your sister, though. Like
with the little
anger.
Well, I'll tell you.
Your father
let's
and
be
the
candid,
gold digger.
Which I like to be candid.
Sure.
Yes.
Jealousy, well, not like in that childish way, but more like, fuck you, how much money is she going to get?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And then...
You're
right.
Fucking with my money, bitch.
I love it. Jealousy, not in the sense that he spent too much time with her, but fuck you, where's my money? I love it.
The second truth about that is she was not a pleasant child.
Right.
Because she had a very unpleasant mother.
Right.
We did not like the mother, and therefore she was just an extension of the mother.
Right.
So we really didn't give her a fair shot.
Right.
Sure. You at least admit that. Mm-hmm. Now, not to go into details, of course, but... Did you get screwed over financially by her?
100%. Robbed.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Robbed.
Well,
you bounced back.
I have good instincts. I knew.
You knew it was coming.
100%.
You knew it was coming.
I did.
You saw that pregnant belly. You're like, all right, here we go.
Yeah, I
knew. It was coming. As soon as right after the second tower fell, he went to Tunisia.
I have to lay down roots.
Oh, my God. When I was in L.A., you dropped Leo, your son, who's a great kid, off at an etiquette class at where? The Beverly Hilton?
The Beverly Hills Hotel.
The Beverly Hills Hotel. You're very into etiquette.
Well, we wouldn't know that by today's podcast, but I am. I'm into traditional manners, or at least to be able to access them if you need them.
Right.
Okay. I don't always use them myself, but I like the idea of people being able to have access to
them. Well, like thank you cards?
Thank you cards are sort of becoming overly antiquated now, but certainly that. But more
Ray
like...
such a trash bag. What do you mean? Like for having Band-Aids in the house? No, like knowing what fork to use at dinner.
Yeah. Oh, give a shit. You shove the snail fork in the salad, it's fine.
Yeah. But also just the idea of how to... here's the things I love and I really care about. If I could cherry pick what's the most important thing and say, fuck doing the class,
yeah.
Eye contact and handshake.
I do agree with you.
Okay, right. I don't want to see a man. If a man has a dead fish hand, he's dead to me.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
they teach that at the class.
Ugh. Well, I mean, they should say it that directly, but yes, they do.
Okay,
it's about greetings.
I think you should teach the class. Just kids crying, and we drop Leo off. It's a bunch of Chinese billionaires' kids and Leo. Yeah. It's so he walks in. All the girls were like riveted towards him. He's a good-looking, like, California kid, and everyone in the class is, like, Asian, and then there's one other, like, a scrawny white kid.
They're all there like, you can't kill your daughter.
Right.
And then, like, oh, and then have a nice handshake.
Yeah. But don't you think, do you guys feel like you learn about someone by their handshake?
To an extent.
A man's handshake. No?
I think eye contact is big.
It's huge.
I think it's here's the thing. I don't like a mealy handshake.
Right, exactly.
I don't like it, but I'm also a relic of masculinity in this day and age.
You know?
I feel like I don't want to be gender normative to people.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Well,
but, I prefer when a man shakes my hand.
Time out. We got to talk about this.
Yeah.
You're saying we're leaving genders out by having strong handshakes?
No, He's
trying to say that having a strong handshake described as a traditionally masculine behavior. He doesn't want to exclude. He doesn't want to say that women can't have strong handshakes and be strong people.
Well, I want to say that if a man has a weaker, more quote unquote feminine handshake, that he's less than.
Right.
I see your point. From my upbringing, I prefer it. But people have a lot of fluids in their genders, and they want to mix it up.
That's fine. They can be nice people. I certainly don't want my daughter to date them if they have a little weak.
No, that makes sense. If you had your pick, your daughter dates and marries, and I agree with you. A millionaire or a billionaire?
No, billionaire sounds goofy. It's more just like a guy who, I'll tell you, rather than even put a price tag on it, I'd like my daughter to marry someone who has a sense of himself and has something and has a career.
Definitely. $5 million.
Well, we don't want him living on food stamps. Am I allowed to say that?
Okay.
I mean,
you don't like actors. And she hangs out with a lot of actors.
I don't dislike actors.
Right.
I just don't. I'm not infatuated with the idea of being an actor.
You love comedy. Why? What about stand-up comics do you like so much?
Well, I initially got, which I've said before at the show, my little sister had been dating a comic for almost 12 years.
The five-year-old?
No, my actual full-blood sister. Yeah. For 12 years, my sister was with a comic for 12 years. And
how'd that work out?
That's over. But they had... but there was, there was something going on there for a long time.
Yeah. Okay.
But from him...
As long as she just spent her life, she just gave him the good years.
Yeah, gave him all the good years.
All the good years.
That's
all
true.
The childbearing years.
It's true.
I love her sisters. This is a great person.
And she doesn't want children.
Was she impregnated?
No, she doesn't even want children.
Okay. Yeah.
But no, I mean, she's... I was around him a lot.
Yeah.
And when I needed assistance, my work started to become more pressing.
Yeah.
He would say, hire my friend so-and-so. They're stand-ups. They need work.
Yeah.
So I started to have this cavalcade of stand-up comedian assistants for a long time.
Yeah.
And I just sort of became... Yeah. And I was a comedy writer, so I'm already have a sensibility towards comedy, but...
And you worked for Ellen?
I worked...
Well, we can't really be afraid of... Okay, go on.
No, we're not afraid of her.
Okay, I mean, listen, we're not in her world.
No, but she was, awful. But anyway, so...
As a boss, she was... I've heard that. She's very tough.
She was tough.
She's tough, yeah.
Tough in what, as far as, in your personal behavior and your Just your writing? Like, what was the deal?
What was, yeah, what made her so?
No, she just was a tough person. Yeah. I don't even know how to even.
A difficult person.
Like, tough in a way that she made you better as a writer?
No, she. I didn't write for her. I was more of a segment director for her, field and stuff. And yeah. No, she wasn't. She was just tough, awful. In the same,
tough, awful. I like that.
But nothing directly to me, as much as it was just.
I've heard that she's difficult.
Everybody says it. It's not even a. Yeah, she's just tough.
But this infatuation with comedy is how. Because we're kind of like all losers, and we're all clowns.
I don't think you guys are losers. I have the utmost respect for what you do.
Right.
You shouldn't.
I do.
But you also know the downsides of it.
Yes, I know. It's very, and I actually think it's really, you guys are not given enough credit, you know, and how hard the work is.
It isn't easy.
Mm-mm.
What would you say, you're dating a comic now. Mm-hmm. What's the hardest thing about dating a comedian?
The schedule, in terms of having a relationship with someone, you're kind of signing on to a long distance relationship with someone.
Yeah.
If they're working and they're traveling, there's about a good, first of all, weekends are out unless you're on the road with them. There's really no weekends, which is a very traditional time for a couple.
Yeah.
And the schedule is insane. It really is. And they have to take what they get, because you can't, the planning is out. You can't plan, but you just planning and so you can't be traditional.
Yeah. I just turned down something. I never turned down anything for Red Nose Day, which is NBC's attempt to end child poverty. They offered me $1,000 to do a sketch on NBC where I take my shirt off, and apparently they go, hey, all your kids who are poor, don't worry, he's fat. That was the whole sketch.
That's the line?
But pretty much the sketch is, hey, he's fat. Ha ha ha.
Did you recommend me?
No, it was $1,100. I passed because I said, I have to say no.
No,
wrestled with it, but there was nothing funny about it.
What, you a fat clown?
Right. If I would take my shirt off and then go some funny lines, fine. But the idea of like just being like, hey, here's a way to end child poverty. Here comes fatty. I didn't get that.
Agree. I don't think that should be exploited like that.
No.
Was that because of what you, the whole thing with the president of NBC?
No, I mean, I got
retribution.
No, we had to pull that episode. You want to have to pull this one? What I love about you is you've no filter. You say whatever. You're from a whole different generation of people, which I admire.
I'm 62.
Right. You don't have. You're not 62. she always lies about her age, and if you believe her, she yells at you. But you don't give a like. You went a couple of years ago for Halloween, and you meant nothing by this. You went as a Mexican.
Well, I am Hispanic.
Okay.
I am Hispanic.
Are you Hispanic?
Yeah. What is your Hispanic heritage?
Spain.
Okay, it's a bit different.
But I went as a Three Amigos, so I didn't even know that was offensive.
I literally thought you...
He's a social justice warrior. I'm with you.
I'm not going to say what I thought you did, but you, like, I'm a Mexican.
No, like the hat and like the...
You went as a Three Amigos.
Yeah.
All right, what's different than being a Mexican?
Okay. Now, people were angry with you.
Well, there were a couple of people in where I was trick-or-treating that I was so stunned. I'm like, what's the problem? They sell the costume. Well, why do they sell the costume if you can't be having sombrero on?
The Three Amigos weren't even Mexican.
Were they?
No, I
mean more like
she went as a Mexican. I'm telling you.
Oh, okay.
the band.
I'm trying to tell you.
A mariachi band.
They went as a mariachi band, and then people were shocked.
Is that bad?
I don't think it is. I don't give a shit about any of that. I think everyone should make fun of everyone.
It's all tone deaf nowadays, but it's not that bad.
Yeah.
Well, part of what makes Michelle great is that she doesn't give a fuck about tones. Now, she doesn't care. I mean, you live in L.A.
And New York, both.
And New York. Yeah. And you know that there are horrible abuses that go on towards not only women, but children. The people in the business are treated horribly. But you also, I think, have a unique vantage point living and seeing the entertainment business for as closely as you kind of observed it. You've been in a bunch of different positions.
Mm-hmm.
Is there when you hear about like the Me Too movement and stuff like that, do you think that in many of these situations, and I want to be careful here because I'm trying to say, do you think there's potentially some other elements that we're ignoring or missing with this situation, like with some of these Me Too things, because this is really undoing Hollywood right now. It's a huge thing. It's a big deal. And that's where you live, and that's kind of the business you've been in.
I can only speak from my own experience, yeah. And I can't really comment to what other people's experiences are with it, because I wouldn't pretend to know what is, you know,
yeah.
Everyone has their own threshold of what's offensive and not offensive.
Right.
You know, I think my threshold's a little higher than most, probably because, like you said, generationally.
Right.
And, you know, I don't, but it doesn't mean I don't, you know, honor other people's thresholds.
Of course, yeah.
So I don't really know how to comment on it, because I don't understand it. Because I've just never been exposed to it.
Yeah, interesting. Right.
Or I wonder sometimes if I have been and maybe I'm not.
You haven't even been aware.
Maybe I'm not aware.
Because, yeah, you live in Hollywood for a long time. Yeah. What did you like about the business? Like, what did you like about when you were kind of, because you come from Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
You come from a suburb of Cleveland,
mm-hmm.
well off suburb.
Shaker Heights.
Shaker Heights, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And what? How do you end up in L.A. doing this crazy stuff?
You know, because after my parents divorced, my mother, she's from California. She moved back to L.A.
Yeah.
And then it was like a natural family move.
Yeah. Okay.
And I had been studying communications media. I've always been interested in writing from the get-go, journalism. So it felt like a natural move.
Explain to us the play you're doing now. That is really...
Yeah. So it's...
Explain, because this is wild.
It's another musical. It's called Dead Serious, the musical.
It's a musical. And now tell us what it's all about. It's very marketable. Middle America is going to love it.
It's, So it's a gay man who also talks to dead people.
And?
Who also dresses in drag.
Right.
And who was part of the most, one of the most notorious child abuse cases in recorded Boston's history.
And I joked around with you.
And it's the real guy that's in the musical.
And you went
to the guy who got abused, grew up, and now he's in this musical.
The guy who got abused, grew up, gay, dresses in drag, and is a very well-known
medium
that talks to dead people.
And he's on TV and everything.
A little bit of a scam.
Well, that's what some people think. Not everybody. I don't. Okay. But I understand that he gets hit with that all the time.
Right.
And so the musical is sort of another expose, which I like to do, like even with the comics. Like, what's this world about? So this is a new world.
I love
world.
You said this world. It's one guy.
Well, the world. No. The world of paranormal.
No, of course.
The world of psychics.
Yeah.
The world of debunking it. The world of is bullshit.
Of course. You like to get immersed in these
in worlds.
You just go and you go to readings with him.
Oh, many.
He does the cold readings?
Many.
So you don't think it's all legit?
I do.
All right.
Okay,
for sure. Yeah, I actually think it's really interesting,
And now...
I think there's so much we don't know about, right?
Sure, but look, these guys, what do they call this?
I'm a skeptic. I'm a cynic. I have jokes about it in my Netflix special, which is premiering soon, early July.
I don't want to disparage your friends or anything. You know, it's debatable.
Yeah, listen, it's hard to get people to get on board with the idea... I believe he dresses in drag.
Oh, for sure.
He does. Yeah,
I believe that.
He's definitely gay. But he's also really, I think he's tuned into something, connected to something that we're not. Absolutely, he is. Yeah.
100%.
Right. Yeah.
Now,
well, but so many people say, no. So that's what
that's not about personally him. It's just, these people.
Listen, people say it's just straight out bullshit. I don't care. I just, he doesn't care, by the way.
Right.
So he's not like a fun huckster guy. He's like,
he's in it.
He's a true believer.
He's in it. Now, Christine and Jay went to see him, right?
Just Christine.
Okay. Well, that
Jay's not a believer, of course.
Right.
But
okay.
Christine was. I'm not going to label her as a believer, but she was very fascinated by what she saw. I think she would be willing to say that.
Yeah, no, I would like to see him in action.
Yeah,
I'm
and you've met him many times in my house.
He's a great dude. I mean, he's a nice guy. You know, he's a very well put together guy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Very serious. He's got multiple projects going on. Mm-hmm. Like people are interested in whatever he's doing. I've never seen what he's doing.
Are his powers connected to the being abused?
Well, this is what's really weird and interesting about this.
Yes, a lot, if you even believe in this gift, oftentimes the people who have it have had a very rough childhood.
Okay.
So what's behind that? Well, someone could say, well, they're psychologically off. Mm-hmm. Someone could say maybe they're more, you know, they've got a thinner veil. I don't know. I mean, we do talk about that in the show, though. It's one of the Q&As in the show.
It could be, look at this MK Ultra stuff. They're taking the kids to give them
Who knows? I mean, it's really weird. Who knows? But so... This guy, did you go to the jail to meet his father?
We haven't done that yet,
okay.
but that's something we're trying to arrange. His father's in prison in Boston.
Is the one in
Massachusetts.
Abused him?
Yes.
Okay. What's his dad in jail for in prison?
The abuse.
Wow.
Yeah.
Of him?
Yeah, of him.
Still
in
jail for abuse.
How long?
Like 12 years.
Wow. They don't usually get that long.
That's what I mean. This was bad.
Yeah.
And it's his diary that put him in there. It's Thomas's diary.
Did that kept a diary?
No, this is fascinating. Listen.
Thomas, this man, kept a diary of all the abuse as a child.
Oh, yeah.
And the diary became the main source of evidence, and it's used in our play as well.
So wow.
There are real readings from the diary.
And that's my favorite song from the new musical. He burns me with a cigarette. Read the diary. Read the diary. It happened to me.
That's
it happened
like
to me.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, I'm sorry. This sounds like a fascinating
listen, even
she
if
gets
you don't...
involved in crazy shit, dude. I've never met a person who dives headfirst into horror like this woman.
I mean, if you're interested.
I'm very interested.
Yeah. You would like it even if
Ray's
you don't...
about to give his money.
Listen, I'll write a check right now. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be skeptical. Do you want my money?
Even if you don't believe it,
yeah.
It's fascinating to hear about.
Sure.
Yeah,
it's like an interesting story. How did you meet this guy?
I had a reading. After my father died, I wanted to talk to my dead father because I think this stuff is interesting.
You wanted to yell at him for not leaving you enough money.
I wanted to yell at him for getting robbed by the gold digger.
You're like, can you be a medium and an estate lawyer? Is there any possible way?
And take me into a time machine? Yeah. No, I mean, I had a reading with him over at the Mark. With
the Mark Hotel.
With my friend Carlo. We had a private reading. He knocked my socks off. And we just sort of, at that point, kept in touch for various reasons.
And he had no idea who you were.
He knocked Carlo's socks off so
this
much
is
so.
This is interesting about cold reading, because it's like, he has no idea who you are.
No, he does
so
not.
It's like, how good are your fucking body signals that he's getting stuff? So let me ask you a question.
Okay.
How long before he walks in the room does he have your information, your name? A week,
well,
a day? This is important.
Those of us who are connoisseur of such paranormal people, which Carl and I are.
You go to all these people.
We like to see them.
You'll walk by like a fucking
I've seen John Edwards. I've seen all these people. I've seen everybody.
Yeah.
So when you are in that level of if it's a hobby like that for us, you know better. You don't give your last name.
Interesting.
So they never had a last name. That's the number one thing.
We walked by these psychics the other day on the street in New York City, and we go, how do they stay in business?
Like a mom and pop psychic.
Yeah, like $5 psychic, like the lady sitting outside.
I think people are constantly fascinated with their future.
Yeah.
They want immediate help. It's its own form of like self-medicating where they're in pain. Normally it's about love life, right?
Tim's theory is that they were sucking dick.
Yeah, I thought it was a prostitution.
Oh, I don't think it's that. I don't think it's that.
I thought they were like, I see your pants coming off.
Yeah, and I don't think
some
it's
guy's
that.
Like, you're good. You are good,
I don't think it's that. I think they really do.
I see you leaving here with a smile. That's what I thought.
Most of them are women, anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, you're saying, I see what you're saying,
So how long after the reading do you say, I want to do something with this guy? He's fascinating.
Years. What happened was another person I was working with in the book industry, we were going to he's already done a book. As you know, he has all these projects going on.
Yeah.
And we were going to do a book, and then we didn't do and then the book was purchased. And then it came out in the Daily Mail or some, I don't remember what magazine it was, that he had run a Ponzi scheme when he was a kid, not kid, but like early 20s with apartments.
Yeah.
And the publishing company that I...
So wait a minute. Hold on.
Yeah.
Rewind.
It's in the play. It's in the show.
Rewind.
It's in the show.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
The guy now, the medium who we're debating whether he's legit or not, in his early 20s, ran a Ponzi scheme with apartments, and you gloss over that.
Yeah, gloss. Because they're two separate issues.
You have to be open to the spiritual realm.
Is there anyone
realm.
Better than her? That is the question. Like, is there anyone better than her? Is there anyone better? You go, they're two separate issues.
They are.
Explain that.
Well, because one is a cry for help from a very abused, coming out of a very abusive situation.
And that's the Ponzi scheme.
And the other thing is just, it's a real gift. What? You guys are, oh, my God.
The medium, the Ponzi scheme medium.
Yeah.
This guy has already demonstrated the ability to be quite successful, and he's adept at being fraudulent.
Yeah.
And you don't put it past him that potentially he's just very good at fraud.
Because the gift.
Well, if you keep calling it the gift.
The gift is separate from the activity.
Okay.
What do you say? Look, there's been a lot of people, throughout the last decade who've kind of broken the lid off of, let's just say, other cold readers, other people who do this.
Absolutely. And talk about how it's a... The main one, what's his name? Randy.
Amazing Randy.
Yeah, Amazing Randy.
Well, Teresa Caputo in Long Island, she's never been found out, but there are people, she bombs a lot. Like, she goes up and says stuff that's very general.
But it's also, like, Amazing Randy's a guy who's, like, a classic skeptic, he's a famous skeptic.
Yes. Musician. They have that documentary they did on him.
Right, and, like, you know, the whole idea that this is a trained art form, for lack of a better word, that people have been doing for hundreds of years, and, like, basically there's a lot of cues that people, like, any magician would know, like, that you're reading cues. Like, what do you say to that whole... thread of, like, do you think that some of these people are full of shit, at least? Or you?
Absolutely. Most of them are, I think.
But your friend is one of the few. Are there other ones that you think are legit?
Not very many, but yes. A few.
Okay, so he's one of the few, like...
Yeah, and I've seen a lot.
Do you think the only, maybe the only people who are legit at this have been involved in financial fraud earlier in their life? Do you think that's maybe a good indicator?
Those are just great cold readings.
Ken Lay. Yeah.
Here's the thing. So that's how it happened. So because that was found out, then the book company got, you know, cold feet to the book. And I said, fuck it. Let's expose it all together. Let's
now,
just...
the book company being a big one.
Uh-huh. And so I...
with a vetting department.
So yeah. I guess the statute of limitations is over, right? Like, it's passed?
Well, I won't say the company, but I will say this.
Well, we're talking about the Ponzi scheme.
The criminal, like, the
well,
criminal.
That, well, but that's okay because that is in the open. That's in the musical. It's part of the musical. It's a big part of the musical.
I'll sell you an apartment. Don't ask any questions. Your dead father wants you to sign on this line. God, you, let me tell you right now, a grifter is a grifter is a grifter, and a con is a con is a con, and the way she falls in with cons is one of the greatest things. That's why I love her. She falls in with it. She tells me these stories over breakfast. I'm in disbelief. I'm like, this, you can't. And she doesn't realize she's doing it. She rolls out the story brilliantly. It's like perfectly, because she... A minute ago, she had us. Yeah. We were both...
Oh, my God. I can't believe you got raped.
We were both apologizing. We had no idea. We're sorry.
What?
And then she just throws in very quietly that he happened to run a successful Ponzi scheme in his early 20s.
He beat a few people over the head. What are you gonna do?
So now they get cold feet on the book.
They get cold feet on the book, and I say, this is fantastic. What an
opportunity. This is for the best.
What an opportunity this is.
Oh, my God.
For us to do a musical.
Oh, my God. There may be no guest that has exemplified this show better than her. She may be the best guest we've legitimately ever had in terms of what this whole show is. So you go to him and say, don't despair.
Yeah.
Now, is he okay with the Ponzi scheme? Does he have to answer for that at all?
Well, no, he did. Absolutely. Okay. Years ago, he did. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he absolutely did. And had great remorse for it.
Wait, did he answer? He went to jail?
Yes.
Oh, he did. Yeah. How long?
Wait a minute. Hold on. The medium whose dad's in jail, whose diary put the father in jail, is also went to jail.
Briefly, just a little stint.
How long did he go to jail?
A couple days.
Wait a minute, a couple days. Well, it was white collar.
A couple days.
All right.
Because he just, it was like, you guys, he owed like $3,000.
Okay.
Oh, so it wasn't,
Well, meaning he'd say this. Yeah. I guess kind of an early version of Airbnb.
Okay.
You want to rent my apartment, it's free, and then write a check for like $1,000, and then you want to rent my apartment, and then it wouldn't be available. And then there'd be no work.
Wait a minute. He's taking fake deposits.
Wait a minute. You just tried to diminish this, like Airbnb. I thought he was maybe illegally renting out his apartment. He was just taking people's money and not renting them the apartment?
Yeah, that happened. just a couple times.
Was it even his apartment?
No.
It was not his apartment.
No, I think it was. I don't know. I can't answer that.
He was showing up at other people's apartments, showing it, taking a $1,000 check, and then just flick it. I love that moment where it was like, was his apartment? Yes. I don't know. She couldn't even keep it going. Well,
so to recap, the man with the gift, the medium with the amazing gift.
Yes, it is amazing.
I'm not denying that, but he spent his early 20s taking deposits from people to rent them fake apartments that didn't exist.
Just for a month.
What do you mean just for a month?
Well, you said early 20s as if it was like happening for years.
So he got caught.
Yeah, really quickly, by the way. Yeah.
Okay, so he was bad at that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he got caught really. It was like a little thing, you know, it was like a little oopsie.
Okay. So did you ever ask him if he like predicted he would get caught?
Well, that's interesting. I know, of course, that's a sort of like a facetious statement, but the truth is, they can't predict them. They cannot kind of look into their own future.
Is that the only illegal thing he was doing at the time?
That's correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It does still call into question. It does make you think a little bit. It makes a logical person think a little bit about this dude.
Well, but if you're really being logical, then you have to have empathy for the fact of where he was coming from and the kind of person he was raised by.
Okay.
So it doesn't make it right, but it sort of makes it sort of understandable versus him being a really maniacal person.
No, we're not saying he's a maniacal person. That's why it's more that there's a shared skill set. Let's just say,
right.
Put a pin in it and say maybe he was a fraudulent psychic. If he was,
yeah,
you could see an overlap of skills between that.
That's exactly why he was so happy to do the expose in the musical, because of course he's up against that thought process all the time now.
Sure,
right.
Yeah. Meanwhile, he continues to knock people's socks off, and so he has survived it beautifully.
Sure, and we don't know him, and we don't know his work.
No.
It's just, these are funny. It's a funny
coincidence.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a bit of a, yeah, you can bridge the gap.
It's a funny story to unpack because, you know, hey, who knows what he's involved in? Does he have any relationship now with his dad?
No, he does not. Not since the day he went to prison. No.
Is he, how old is he? In his
early
30s. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the dad, it seems like the dad's been in jail for how long now?
I think about 12 years or so.
So, actually,
that's not true. Longer.
How old was he? My point is, how old was he when the dad went to jail?
About 14.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. His father got out for just, I should say, a brief time, like after the first stint, and then misbehaved again and got put right back.
With him? Different kid?
I think it was just the family in general. Directly with him, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Now, was this brought to the attention of the authorities by your friend, or was it like someone else? Like,
I think that it may have been. I should know this. I should know this, but I actually don't. I want to say it may have been a neighbor.
Okay.
Or maybe it was someone that maybe at the school.
Does he have brothers or sisters?
He does.
Do any of them have gifts?
No.
Okay. Interesting.
No. Were they also abused?
Running Ponzi schemes? Sorry.
No Ponzi schemes. They're actually pretty straight-laced, the girls. Okay. Yeah.
But they were all abused. Yeah.
Oh, very, very badly, actually. Yeah.
And this is coming October?
And this is all public record,
this is coming
so
in
I'm
the
not
fall.
Speaking out of turn.
No, we don't.
I'm going to see this because I'm fascinated.
This is very...
It is interesting.
I'm in.
Yeah, it's interesting. And he'll be doing cold reads throughout the whole musical.
Oh, wow.
That's part of the musical. He will be interstitially.
He's got skill for business. I'll give him that. At the very least.
Listen, yeah.
So it's a great pattern.
We respect the hell. Whatever
is your idea,
right. Huh?
That your idea doing the cold readings during.
Yes,
it's a great idea.
Whatever, whatever's going on here, we support it in some way.
Yeah.
So you know what I mean? Like we're into whatever it is.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Now you have another musical, but this is far off.
Well, not really. We've started now writing some music for it. It's called Cut, and it's about plastic surgeons.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah. So another world I'm going to immerse myself into.
Are they going to be doing plastic surgery during the show?
Yeah. I would fucking love that. But what we will be doing is having real plastic surgeons doing their monologues while there's singers and dancers behind them singing songs about whatever it may be.
Okay.
So that's kind of like a...
Have you ever thought of getting my cousin Bobby Lopez, double EGOT winner, involved in any of these projects?
Who's that?
Bobby Lopez for Avenue Q and the Book of Mormon.
No.
No, we've discussed. You were.
Oh, your cousin.
Yeah, Bobby Lopez.
Well, I would never ask.
He doesn't even know who I am. Like, he doesn't even,
Well, but also, it's another one of those loyalty buttons. Like, you're not going to, it feels very inappropriate to say, oh, could you? I feel if someone wants to help you, they'll let you know.
You're going
to
find out in 5 years that, like, she found you because of him.
I know. That's maybe what happened. I think Bobby's going to stick with Disney.
Yeah.
I really feel like he...
Yeah.
Now, after these musicals, you said you want to kind of put the musicals down for a little bit.
Well, I had three I want to do, and I'm doing my third. So there were three that I sort of had envisioned creatively.
Yeah.
And I'm now working, you know, actively in the second, and then I'll do the third. I don't feel compelled to do another one after that.
Right.
I lose interest in things often. You know, after I like to do things really large, and then I kind of want to move on to something else. Like I'm going to flower school. Starting Monday, June 4th, and I'm just sort of fascinated by
Funeral arrangements.
Well, or weddings. We can go positive.
Oh, like that kind of like that kind of thing.
It's called flower school, and it's really learning how to be. Now, will I use it? Probably never. I don't know, but I have 1,000 interests.
Sure. Right.
So, and in some ways, that's terrible because if someone has like you're very focused, and therefore you know people like that rise to the top because they're very focused in one thing.
Well, not always. But
I
go on.
It's more likely versus I get flaccid towards things.
Right.
The entertainment industry, this type of work that I just, and it's not that I'm lazy at all.
Right.
I'm really industrious actually. It's just that I don't get too hooked into one thing.
What grabbed you? I assume it was relatively recently. Did you see a movie? Did you go to a wedding? And you like, did something grab you? Where you got the initial like
flowers?
Yeah, for flowers.
Well, I'm going through this period, Ray, where I'm like, this age I'm in. I'm like, I'm sort of wanting to explore some of more of traditional. What's my feminine side? What does that mean to me?
Right.
You know, getting a little less interested in the grind of the industry.
Sure.
Wanting to do things that I feel like I can age gracefully, and not that people can't in the industry,
right.
but for myself.
Is there a big markup on flowers?
I have no idea. I think you make like $5 an hour. I'm not sure what I'm doing. I just think it's like it's just like Katharine Hepburn and
you're gonna be selling them on the side of Sunset Boulevard.
That could happen.
People got
I'm
to
not
the country
sure.
Yesterday.
Yeah. I'm just looking into doing other things, you know.
Are you done with L.A.? I mean, do you still love L.A.?
I am bicoastal because my son's there, obviously. Yeah. My daughter's here. I'm split in that way. But
what do you feel? You're more. Into...
I'm always more New York. I always have been. But I have my children, you know, my kids, you know, they're rooted. Well, not my daughter, but my son's rooted there. So as a result, I'm, you know, always there.
Yeah.
I appreciate the sunshine a couple months a year, but it's not really my thing.
Yeah.
Overall, no.
Yeah.
I find it to be a very isolated city, actually.
Yeah, I'm sure
it
is.
Mm-hmm. I don't think L.A.'s, you know.
When you look at kids now, your daughter's generation, mm-hmm. your daughter's friends with a lot of successful people, actors, things like that. What do you think? Because me and you always joke around about how fragile all these kids seem, you know.
You mean with all the allergies and this and that.
Everything.
They can't breathe air, this and
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
You know, I was just talking to someone today about the sort of even how we were treated as kids. I mean, I'm obviously older than you guys, but I mean, our parents were, so many of them were narcissistic, really shouldn't have been parents after them.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely put us in the backseat in more ways than one.
Right.
We had zero platform to have an emotion. You know, everything was based on them. And now the pendulum has swung so far, and I'm guilty of it. My kids are, you know, have therapy, talk about everything, be open. But it does cross a line where then where does the friendship, the parenting begin and end, where the friendship blends.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah.
So it's actually quite complicated.
Sure.
But I think overall it's healthier the way that a lot of people are getting along with their parents better.
Just gives them a warped sense of, you know. Like they all think they're the most important thing in the room now.
That I can't stand.
Yeah.
That idea of that, you know, macaroni on paper and that's brilliant. No, it's ugly. You know, I've never been a parent to praise things that my kids aren't that great at.
Right.
There's no reason for it. It's not hurting them to say, you know, if they come home with something, you know, that's all right. They're not that fragile. I think it's detrimental to tell them.
People have attitudes, and it's like, you know, I remember my grandma told me you'll never be in the NBA, and I thank her for it.
Right.
I mean, you don't want to shoot people's dreams down, but come on.
Right.
I could have been in the NBA, though. That was what burns me.
You're still mad about it?
Yeah. She was wrong. What do you see with what's going on with comedy? Me and you are both frustrated about this, how, like, you know,
well, like,
everybody's...
I'll tell you, censorship.
Yeah.
Like, everything you say, everything you fucking say, are you going to get in trouble? Are you going to get in trouble? Well, I don't understand. Aren't you supposed to be able to say what you want?
Yeah.
First of all, it's an amendment.
That what comedy is supposed to be? It should ruffle feathers. It should anger
people.
Totally.
And then you can just chew it and just turn it off.
Right.
And don't listen.
There'd be no skill set in saying things that weren't a little edgy. The reason you have to make what you're saying funny is because it's something that you wouldn't necessarily say to a coworker at lunch.
Yeah.
You have to make, because you're in a work, a professional environment.
the reason you have to make what you're saying funny is because it is, by its very nature, edgy or, controversial.
Provocative.
That's why you got to make it funny.
And it's also, it should all be taken with a grain of salt. For example, Ellen. I don't fucking know Ellen. I worked for her for New York Minute.
Right.
For all I know, she's a fabulous person.
Right.
She seemed grouchy and a little cold to me. End of story. Who cares?
Yeah.
But it's more fun to be like, oh, awful. It's more fun to say, I hate my sister.
Right.
Although I do. But, I think that everyone's got to calm down.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal. They're just opinions. You're not hurting people's brands by having an opinion. And I don't think you really are doing a service to any sort of creativity.
Yeah.
To a point. I mean, they
put the onus on the comedians as if we're the ones holding back social justice. We're keeping people from being able to, gay people from being able to marry.
Comedy is a reflection of the world. It's not the other way around. Right. We're not in the driver's seat, you know? Art is not in the driver's seat.
Right.
We're a mirror to what's going on.
That's right.
People should remember that. They do well to remember that.
That's right. I mean, and also, like the Kathy Griffin thing, I was torn on that.
Yeah.
Because there was part of me that thought, okay, you know, it is our president. It's kind of like you don't want to be, you want to kind of preserve that. But the other part is, it's a joke. I don't know. I don't. And now I'm frightened to give either opinion.
Yeah.
Because.
Right.
I wish more people would do it. And not because it's Trump. I think this country's founded on the idea that you can hold your president in effigy. You can burn him. You can, it may not be tasteful, but I mean, this whole same thing with flag burning. It's like, no, it's still, if you look at the foundation of this country, the founding fathers were talking about, overthrowing the government within 10 years.
I mean,
that's the whole onus of what we were doing. And I feel like they were on the right track.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, if you can do that, and that's what they encourage, then why can't you just say a statement about somebody?
Right.
What's the difference?
Right. Why can't you take a deposit for an apartment that isn't real?
I mean, if he had remorse.
Think about it.
He said he was sorry.
I'm fascinated.
He sounds like a patriot.
He did his time.
Well, he's an idiot. What do you think it is about these people particularly? Like, I'm one of them. He's kind of one of them. A lot of your other friends are like this. There's a complexity.
Oh, well.
You look at me and you're like, oh, he's gay, he's this, he feels, it's like there's a lot there. And
that's a must for me.
Yeah.
Life is short and it could be really boring, baby. So you better just, live it up. And I don't really want to be in the mix with a lot of sort of that sheeple-ish, everything's the same way.
No, you are not.
Diversity to me is not, it's not just about color. It's also about, choices and brains and it's complexity is the most fun thing in life.
Great point. We've talked about this before, how it's like, they always talk about that we want diversity. I'm all for it. Get more blacks, gays, Latinos, get everyone in there. But they still want them in this homogenous form. That fits this kind of corporate mold.
They want them all to be 24 and live in New York or L.A. and have the same opinion and thought about every single issue.
No interest in that.
Have the same geographic and region. You know what I mean?
No,
like everything they want. But what I like about you is even beyond politics and opinions and all that other stuff, you generally like diverse backgrounds. You like people who have had interesting, potentially painful lives.
Love it.
That's what's really you're drawn to those people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because there's more to learn, more to peel, more to discover. Usually a lot more of a crazy brain.
If people want to follow you on social media,
please. Why?
No.
Oh, why?
Why?
I mean, my Instagram, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, you'll probably get a lot of people that want to follow you now.
I don't know. They could.
Oh, do you want to say your? I mean, this is like, do you want to say your handle?
I don't know what it is. I have to look and see. Let me look at it. Is it Nylapop? Tim, tell me. I checked my phone.
It's MWNYLAPOP.
Oh, no, then it's Nylapop. NYLAPOP.
Yeah.
It's not MW.
NYLAPOP.
Yeah.
That's you on Instagram.
Yeah.
Do you want to follow Michelle Wendt?
What are you going to see? I mean,
I don't know. You post shit.
Parks and cupcakes at the market.
You post stuff. I post more pictures of Oscar than you do.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Do you feel like he likes you, Oscar?
He doesn't give a shit about anybody, which is why you love him.
Yeah, he's great.
Because what you are like, mister,
yeah.
is you like someone who just, you like that.
It's true.
That chase.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You have no time for the other.
Yeah. He doesn't care about anything, Oscar.
That's why you like him.
He's a narcissist.
If he was up in your grill, you would think he was disgusting.
No, he just hangs out and looks at you.
Yeah.
He doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, he's always a little chase.
Yeah, you got to chase him.
You see yourself in Oscar.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. He's selfish.
Yeah.
You know, self-centered. Uh-huh. How would you just describe him perfectly?
Oh, he was. I think I called him a fat, selfish cock is what I
Yeah, yeah.
Said.
That,
yeah.
That's what he is.
Yeah.
That's
he
what
really
he is.
Is.
And if they want to go see things like Dead Serious the Musical, obviously Ha the Musical is at Skankfest.
It's a Skankfest, and a Dead Serious it should be dropping around the. We're trying to figure out where and when. But
I love the idea of doing it around Halloween.
I think it should be. We're trying to find a space to do it in Halloween, and we have really. If you never saw the rehearsals, but I know Kim came to see it. The songs are fabulous. Julian Villard is a genius. The people we've cast are fantastic. And it's going to be interesting. If nothing else, it'll be interesting.
Do you have any advice for young people out there that want to meet more psychotic people? Because you really seem to have a penchant for...
Tim, my first love was Mishu the Midget, who was the body in Elf. So
I was played by a midget?
Yes, Mishu.
Or he's a puppet.
No, Mishu. So I came out different. I mean, most five-year-olds wanted, you know, I don't know. They were like Sean Cassidy. I was in love with Mishu.
Like you were like in romantic love.
Romantic love. Wow. Wanted to marry him. And there's nothing wrong with that except to say.
Can we get Mishu the Midget up, please, before we end this
episode? So this was 5 years old that I had this draw to Mishu, a sad, short man who died, I think, of liver failure or some sort of alcohol, an alcoholic midget. And I would look
Which
around.
Was the guy from Paradise Island?
No, he's been... Mishu's dead. But my point...
Oh, my God!
That's my first love,
You were
everybody.
In love with Mishu.
Madly. And so...
He's like Ron Bennington, but like a five-year-old.
I loved him. And that's kind of... That really is who I am.
Right.
I was born that way. I also would make my nanny marry my Barbies over and over again. I mean, I had some real...
So she would officiate.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this wasn't like... It wasn't me trying to be off the beaten path. I've always been drawn to things that seem... Maybe more rare or unusual. I'm drawn to the people that are on. Like, hey, I always want to be like, what's going on over there?
Yeah.
And I don't know how to give advice to that. That's a natural instinct for me.
And you come from a very straight-laced family.
Well, father runs off to Tunis. I don't know how straight. I mean,
well, that's true. That's a good point.
Seemingly on the outside.
Seemingly straight-laced. Mm-hmm. Shaker Heights, Ohio,
yeah, right.
Wealthy suburb of Ohio, and then you're out here producing musicals with.
Yeah.
Ponzi scheming cold readers.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, that's, I don't know how to give advice on that.
Yeah.
Just be authentic. I always say that.
You want to meet some real shysters? Just be yourself.
You know, he's real authentic.
Ray Kump, where can we find you?
At Ray Kump on Twitter, at Ray Kump on Facebook, Instagram.
You're going to be at Skankfest, right?
I'll come to Skankfest.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you doing something for Skankfest?
We'll do something.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you can find me on Vice Sports social media. It's That Happened, my Vice Sports show.
Yeah.
He's got other stuff coming out. You just wait for it.
Tim J. Dillon, Dillon, on Twitter and Instagram. I'll be at Go Bananas in Cincinnati from the 24th through the 27th in Ohio. Clusterfest, San Fran, June 1st through the 3rd. I will be at Mohegan Sun in Connecticut in early July. Also at Zany's in Chicago coming up. Comedy on Broadway, Lexington, Kentucky. All kinds of dates. TimDillonComedy.com. All the dates are on the website. Ireland soon. Can't really announce that yet. Montreal will be there again this summer. Can't really announce that yet. Anyway, just did. Who cares? Subscribe to GuestDigitalNetwork.com. You get it all. You get all the archives. We've done about 90-something episodes of this show.
We got to do something nice for the 100.
Yeah, we're going to do something big for the 100th episode. I mean, literally, there's some really fascinating episodes of this show. This one, you were so much... I thought you'd be good. You were beyond good.
This is bonkers.
I was.
It was, you're not even thinking, and you're telling these stories, and I get to be friends with you, and there are people out there that'll be jealous because, like, I hear these stories all the time, and there's some of them we can't even tell on the show that are so much better.
Most of them we can't
But the
tell
way
the
she
show.
Drops it, like, I ran a Ponzi scheme. And it just doesn't get better than this. Follow her on Instagram. I hope you enjoyed it.
It was so fun.
Good.
The camera drove me fucking crazy, but it was fun. I have a real phobia of cameras. Like, it's not a joke.
Yeah.
And so it's been, I mean, I mean, I smell like a whopper underneath my pets. I mean,
okay.
Like,
well, that's love. I'm doing people that are into that. Michelle Wendt, thank you so much.
Thank
Goodbye.
You.
Thank you.